perhaps a couple of more verses from the book of the Song of Songs. And chapter 2, beginning from verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh in through the windows, glancing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. One more verse in chapter 3 and verse 7. Behold, his couch or his bed, Solomon's own. 70 mighty men are about it, of the mighty of Israel. They all hold the sword, experts in war. Each hath his sword upon his thigh, because of the alarm in the nights. King Solomon made himself a palanquin, or a chariot, of the wood of Lebanon. Its pillars he made of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple. Thus far. We have heard from Brother John how everything speaks of Christ when we consider the tabernacle. Every feature of it speaks of Christ. But I trust that the saints have recognized that I read three verses that has the invitation of beholding. Behold the voice of my beloved. Behold, he standeth. Behold, the bed of Solomon. And if you are one of our children or someone that is visiting with us, everything we have discussed throughout the whole day would mean nothing to you if you cannot behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you would not come to this intimate relationship to know him, not only to know about him like you did today, because the daughters of Jerusalem, they heard about him. But whatever deep exercises and commitment to him that is need to be seen, that's between them and the Lord. But you might have heard about the Lord Jesus. You might have heard about this wonderful love relationship that is between Solomon and the Shunammite, or the Lord and the assembly. But if you will not experience the love of God yourself, if you will not acknowledge that you are born in sin, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and come to the Lord Jesus as the Savior of the world, everything you have heard today, put them all together, it will mean nothing to you. But if you will come to Christ, it will be such a wonderful occasion to celebrate that another sinner repented. And there will be a joy here on earth to know that, and also a joy in heaven. So I trust that you will be a source of joy today for the saints that were here today, if you are still without Christ, but also you'll be a source of joy in heaven over one person, one sinner that would repent. So I trust that you will consider repenting. But hear the, behold the voice of my beloved. And dear brethren, I just want to make it very practical for the next 5 minutes or so in relationship to the voice of Christ, what he spoke with us. The first voice I would trust that today from the aroma of the conference, it will not be taken away by idle things when we go back to our own circumstances. The challenge to us is when we go back home. The challenge to us is when we go back to our own rooms. The challenge to us when we go back to our own basements and there is these big TVs, that will draw us to watch something that could be ungodly, that could be defiling, will take away from the spices of this conference, from all the aroma, from all the good smell that we have been enjoying all day long. Be careful. Listen to the voice of the Lord. You know what's his voice? I want to bring it in twofold. The voice of the Lord, this do in remembrance of me. I just trust that every soul here tonight will take these words of the Lord Jesus, because we spoke about his lips, we spoke about his voice, we spoke about his mouth, will take these words of the Lord Jesus and make them very precious for their own soul. This do in remembrance of me. Let us be occupied this evening. What am I preparing? What am I bringing? You know, we spoke about the spikenard and we spoke about the aroma and the alabaster box of Mary, but she prepared it for the Lord. When these wise men came from a distance, they brought with them gold and frankincense and myrrh. They prepared something to be able to offer it unto him, to call to mind all what love has done. So may I bring this application, that you might hear the voice of the beloved, this do in remembrance of me. It's a holy occasion, brethren. It's a very holy occasion. And let's not make it a common thing anymore. But let us go with the mentality to our own homes that I need to prepare something. I need to compose something touching the King. I need to put something so that I can offer it at his blessed feet. Hear his voice, this do in remembrance of me. But the other kind of the voice, behold, I come quickly. You know, she says about the, sometimes we go through difficult circumstances, and you always, your heart goes out to saints that are going through difficult circumstances. We have been praying for the Gian Marino family and many other saints that are going through difficult things, whether family, whether children, whatever the circumstances is. And we cry, Lord Jesus, come. We just want to be taken from the scene of misery. But I want you to consider his voice. Behold, I come quickly from his perspective. You know, she says, my voice of my beloved leapeth. He's running. He's like a gazelle. Do you know that Christ anticipates his coming for you and for me more than what we even think? We always think that we are anticipating his coming. The Lord Jesus, I want to tell you, behold, I come quickly. His blessed voice, that tells me from this epistle that he cannot wait until he brings us home. He is anticipating this occasion of his coming so that his loved ones with him will be complete, so that we can rest in the love of God and we can be in a scene of glory. Sin cannot interrupt it. You know, we're thinking, talking about applications. The voice, behold the voice. Chapter 8 is a remarkable chapter. I don't know, I hope it touches your soul like it touches my mind. Who is she? Oh, what a scene, dear saints. Cometh out from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. What a scene, dear saints of God, when the Lord Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. That there is this scene that will be seen. Maybe not my men. Men will not see it. But I dare to say, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You can show me later. But there is a world that will see, that will observe, that when the Lord Jesus will bring us from this scene, he will bring us from the domain of the enemy. He will take us from a scene of the harshness of the wilderness. But the thought behind it, who is she that cometh out from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Oh, brethren, you think of someone like John that leaned, that can hear the heartbeat of Christ. And I wonder how many of us will be exercised, even from such a conference, to be able to go home and lean and hear his heartbeat, receive something from him, compose something sweet, and cry, Lord Jesus, come. He wants to come. We want him to come, but he is more eager, dear brethren, to come for you and for me. The other thought, behold, he standeth. Yes, it speaks about the wall and he's looking. And dear brethren, how wonderful to see that the eyes of the Lord see all things. Let us know that he is still looking and he still knows all things. I know your works and his eyes, for thou God seest me. The eyes of the Lord sees everything, and we have heard about his eyes fitly set. But I just want to talk about standeth, his rightful place. You know, it is said when the Lord Jesus was raised from amongst the dead, he came through the walls and he stood in the midst of them. He stood in the midst of them. Dear saints of God, never think less about this wonderful privilege we have, that the Lord Jesus, behold, for him to be the object of attraction, behold, he is in the midst of the saints of God. That's his rightful place. So when we go home tonight, let's give the Lord Jesus his rightful place in our own homes. And when we come together tomorrow, let's give him his rightful place in the midst of the assembly. Because in the midst of the assembly would I sing praises unto thee. What a wonderful place that only belongs to him. It doesn't belong to any other man. It doesn't belong to any other thought. It only belongs to him to be the center of the gathering, to stand to be the center of attraction, and every eye shall see him. Behold, it's like the writings of John. Behold the Lamb. Behold the man. Behold your king. Behold my servant. And it's the same thing over here. Before, behold, my beloved standeth. The last one, dear saints, is behold the bed of Solomon. When you think about a bed, you think about rest. But also when Solomon laid in his bed, everything of Solomon was centered in that couch, in that bed. Dear brethren, just take it in an encouraging way. I wonder how many of us could say, if the Lord will come to my house, he will find a restful place. We were told earlier that he often resorted to Bethany. That's what the scripture said. But in Bethany, there was something unique for him. He found a resting place for him. It was a place where they made him supper. It was a place where they made much of Christ, where he can go and be at rest in that location. Behold the bed of Solomon. I wonder how many of us could say that the Lord will feel at rest in my own home, in my own domestic circumstance. I always like to remind myself first, brethren. I'm not pointing fingers at the brethren at all, God forbid. But I start with myself, that if the Lord will come into my house, how many things I have to hide? How many things I have to slide under the rug? If you could, he knows all things, but just a matter of saying it. The bed of Solomon, where he can rest and be at home. But the other thought behind it is, in relationship, we have spoken about the head, white and ruddy all the way to the feet. The whole body of truth that speaks of this blessed one. Let us be these 60 valiant men, because we are living at the night. And while we are living in this dark world, brethren, please take it to heart. The world is trying to take every truth away concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't see it, there's something wrong. To take away his deity, to take away his perfection, to take away his purity, to take away the truth of that he loved the assembly, to take away everything that is connected together in the body, or in the body of faith that is found in Christ. That's why it was 60 valiant men. There were 6 men that knew that they are living in a day of responsibility. 6 by 10. It is a day of responsibility, and we're living in the day of evil men. But it is our responsibility to protect that bed of Solomon. How do you protect it? From the fear of the night. How do I protect this body? It says, and they all have swords at their thigh. The sword, what does it speak of? There's 2 things that speaks of, but mainly, let's acquaint ourselves with the word of God. Because once we are acquainted with the word of God, we will be able to protect that which speaks of Solomon. We're living in a time where everybody is giving it up. The truth of gathering, give it up. Breaking bread, big deal. Prayer meeting, what for? We are all rich in grease and goods and need of nothing. So why do we need to come to pray? Bible reading, I know enough. And all the attitudes that we face in our daily living is simply because Satan and the world system will try to take everything pertaining the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, let's be these valiant men. You would say, well, Solomon's men were happy men. But I want to tell you what the Queen of Sheba said. Happy are thy men. Why? They stand before thee that are acquainted with thy presence. And once you are acquainted with the presence of the Lord, you will become a mighty man. But you have to be acquainted with the presence of God. And I always love to bring this man so that we can take it away for tomorrow. When Elijah can speak and when Elisha could speak, and they can look at a king like Ahab, he says, as the Lord Jehovah liveth, before whom I stand. He was acquainted with the presence of God. And once you and I are happy men because we are familiar with his presence, you can rest assured that we can get out from his presence and be mighty men to defend everything that speaks of Christ Jesus. Brethren, may the Lord help us in these last and closing days to hear his voice. Behold, I come quickly. He's coming. He's coming very soon. But the Lord give us the wisdom, the energy, the strength, the ability, and the boldness to be able to stand for Christ in these last and closing days until that scene that will be accomplished in the air. Who is this that cometh out from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And let it be so for his name's sake.